Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the Lord of the nations and that your desire is that they should know you. And we ask now that as we read your word and consider it together, how we ought to be changed, how we ought to understand it better, how we ought to love you better. And this we ask in your Son's name. Amen. In January next year, Beck, the kids and I are hoping to board a plane for Japan. We'll arrive at Kansai Airport and officials will check our passports and visas. If all goes as hoped, we'll then be allowed to into Japan as missionaries. Japan allows actual missionaries to be there, unlike some other countries. And we're excited about this. But to be honest, there are times when I am terrified. I sometimes wonder what we actually hope to achieve. We have a vision under God that we told you about earlier. But really? Who are we kidding? We're going to a large nation, six times the size of Australia in population, which leads the world in technology. Not a single person here would not have a Japanese electronic or automotive piece of equipment. They also have a long and proud history and culture of their own. It's also a nation that's been resistant to the Christian message for the last 450 years. And that's through outright persecution or indifference more recently. Many missionaries, including my own parents, went before us and saw very few conversions. What's one more missionary family going to achieve? Especially given all our own faults and problems. You know, I can't even be kind to my own kids at times. What do we think we are doing going to Japan as missionaries? And what are we doing coming to ask you to partner with us? If what we see is the only thing that matters in mission, we might as well give up now. But there is more to mission than what we see. Joseph's story in Genesis shows that other perspective to us. Joseph's story reminds us that mission does involve weak and imperfect people. But those weak and imperfect people are sent out by God for his plan. In today's passage, we were introduced to Jacob's family. Jacob was one of the ancestors of ancient Israel, God's special people. Jacob had 12 sons and Joseph was number 11. And we quickly learn some not so good things about Joseph and his family. Joseph is a dobber. He brought a bad report about his brothers to his father. Joseph is Jacob's favourite. I think all the parents are probably cringing right now. Jacob shows this by making a special robe for Joseph. And Joseph is boastful, or at least lacks discretion. He tells his brothers, then his father, about some dreams that suggest they will bow down to him. You know, brother number 11. So his brothers hated Joseph. And Joseph's brothers probably hated Jacob as well for his favouritism. This is the family who are God's chosen people. Yet what we have heard is dysfunction and hostility. Joseph, the spoilt and possibly arrogant dobber, is an imperfect member of a very imperfect family. And just how imperfect becomes clear very quickly in the story. Most of the brothers have gone out to find grass for the sheep. Jacob wants to know how they're going, so sends Joseph out to check on them. And this creates the perfect opportunity for Joseph's brothers. They consider murdering him. In the end, they see a chance to make some money instead. So they sell him to some passing merchants for a quick 20 pieces of silver. And that's where the story could have ended. The brothers send back Joseph's torn robe dipped in blood, which makes Jacob think Joseph is dead. Joseph is taken to Egypt, just another foreign slave imported to the mighty kingdom of Egypt. His family, his character, and his circumstances at this point do not commend Joseph as any kind of hero. This point in the story is a little like where Beck and I are now. We're not slaves, and we don't have a family that hates us. Thank God. But we're basically imperfect nobodies going into a large and prosperous nation. Yet, we are able to go, because we know something Joseph only realized later. See, God is the one who sends us. In mission, God sends weak and imperfect people to do his work. If we jump forward in the story to chapter 41, it is many years later. By this time, Joseph is in charge of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh, the king. God had given Joseph the meaning of a dream that Pharaoh had. Joseph was able to tell Pharaoh that God was warning him about a massive famine that was coming. Joseph was also able to suggest that Pharaoh store up food in the good years before the bad years came. So Pharaoh appoints Joseph to the task. When the famine comes, it doesn't just hit Egypt, it hits the whole region, including the area of Canaan, where Joseph's father Jacob and his family still live. So his brothers come to Egypt to buy grain, and they bow down to Joseph, just as the dreams had predicted. At this point, Joseph could have taken revenge, or at least Joseph could have lorded over his brothers. Instead, when he reveals himself to them in chapter 45, he says this: God sent me ahead of you to establish you as a remnant within the land and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. God sent Joseph to Egypt, even though his brothers had meant it for evil. God sent Joseph ahead of his brothers and family to save them. God sent Joseph to Egypt so that he could save God's people. We believe God is sending us to Japan. Unlike Joseph, we know before we go that God wants his church to send some to go to other parts of the world. That's why we're here, because God is sending us through you, just as he sent Joseph to Egypt through his brothers. The good thing about the analogy is that it's the opposite. Unlike Joseph and his brothers, who were either ignorant of God's plans or just disobedient to anything God had said, we know God's plan and are willing participants. So together, we cooperate with God and his plan to send his people to the ends of the earth. You as senders, we as those sent. But there's still the problem of our weakness, of our sinfulness. Even if God sends us, we can't do much, can we? Won't we botch his plans? Just last week, Beck was sick with the real flu. Not a cold, but influenza. As were two of our kids. As a family, we were reduced to not doing much. What if that happens in Japan? Won't we be just useless? Again, Joseph's story helps us understand what is going on when God sends his people to another place. Here, I'm going to jump back in the story from where we got to, where Joseph was in charge of Egypt. We need to go back to just after he was sold by his brothers as a slave, to chapter 39. And in chapter 39, Joseph was taken down to Egypt and bought by an important man named Potiphar. Genesis tells us that Joseph was successful in Egypt because the Lord was with him. On top of that, Potiphar, who presumably followed the Egyptian gods, came to see that God was with Joseph. So Potiphar put Joseph in charge of his entire household. Now Joseph is then falsely accused and put in prison for a number of years. But the prison warden as well sees that God is with Joseph. So he leaves Joseph, a prisoner, to run the prison. Finally, after Joseph interprets those dreams in chapter 41, Pharaoh appoints Joseph to leave Egypt. Pharaoh too recognizes God's spirit in Joseph. Three times, people in authority recognize that God is with Joseph. And because of that, they place Joseph in charge. And we're not told exactly what they saw, whether it was honesty, respect, care for the task he was given. We do read that before Pharaoh, Joseph gave all the credit of the dream interpretations to God. God sent the weak and imperfect Joseph to Egypt, and God went with Joseph to make his plan happen. As Beck and I go to Japan, we want people to see that God is with us. Now, we don't know if we'll be put in charge of something or simply serve in an unknown way. Whatever we are doing, we want people to see God at work. So in our words and actions, we must give credit to God. And yes, I think God has given us things that will help us in our work for him, a little like Joseph's ability with dreams. But they are gifts from God to use in his service, not something we can boast about. As Jesus said in Matthew 5, "Let your light shine so that people may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven." And this is your task too, in your homes, in your workplace, in school, when you spend time with friends and family. Your actions, your words, your lives can speak of the God who is with you, so that people may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. Please pray for us that this would be what people see in us. This is our prayer for you, that those around you would see how the Lord is with you. Because the story of mission is not about us, it's about God. Joseph's story is actually God's story. It's the story of how God sends Joseph to Egypt, then acts through Joseph to bring about his plan. In Joseph's words, God used the bad actions of his brothers for good, the saving of many people. Like many things in the Old Testament, these words of Joseph describe what happened then. But the words also pointed to a future event. Many were saved from starvation at the time, in Egypt and in the surrounding region. If Joseph's family had died in the famine, that would have been it. But God didn't allow that to happen. Instead, Joseph was able to resettle his family in Egypt, where they grew into the nation of Israel over the next four centuries. Almost 2,000 years after Joseph, another man would come to the descendants of Israel and offer to save them from hunger. This man would call himself the bread of life and promise that anyone who trusted in him would live forever. This man, like Joseph, would be betrayed by those who were like brothers to him. He was sold to the local rulers for 30 pieces of silver. But the man Jesus wasn't sold into slavery. He was sold to face a sham trial, then a slow public death by being nailed to hang on a cross. And that should have been the end. Another commoner, he was tried wrongly, but then killed on a cross in a faraway province of the Roman Empire. Normally, we shouldn't even know about it 2,000 years later. But we do know about it because of what happened after his death. On the Sunday, Jesus' followers went to the tomb, and instead of a dead body, they found an empty tomb. And then they met the risen Lord Jesus. By rising from the dead, the Lord Jesus proved that he was the bread of life, that through him God was going to save many people, as Joseph had said so many years before. That was why God sent Joseph down to Egypt almost 2,000 years before Jesus was born. That is why we're here with you today, about 2,000 years after Jesus' resurrection. It's amazing to think that Joseph and us, separated by 4,000 years, are part of God's one plan with the Lord Jesus at the centre. As part of that plan, the risen Lord Jesus has a mission for us. And we heard this in the second reading. He commands us to make disciples of people from every nation. That is what you are doing here as you meet together as God's church in Pennant Hills. And as you seek those who don't yet know Jesus in Pennant Hills and in the suburbs around it. You also do this when you send workers to other places. See, it's not like Beck and I are more fully following Jesus' words by going somewhere else. No! You can be just as much a part of Jesus' call to make disciples of the nations when you send us. God's Spirit working in you to become partners in prayer, finances and care is just as important as God's Spirit working in Beck and I as those willing to go. God's Spirit works in both you as senders and we as goers. And that's as God himself ultimately sends us to Japan. And that's why we're asking you to partner with us. So please do partner with us in response to Jesus' call to make disciples in Japan in this case. And why Japan? Japan is in the midst of a famine. Not a physical famine. The Japanese have more physical food than they know what to do with. That show Iron Chef was being broadcast 20 years before MasterChef was ever thought of. You know, they are food obsessed. And they have
great food.
But when it comes to a relationship with the one true God, Japan is in famine, even though many people there don't know it. I went to public schools in Japan and Australia. I actually went to Carlingford High School, which is a little bit down the road. Now, in Australia, at Carlo and the other schools I went to, there were other Christians at school. I met them even during short stints of maybe two terms when we were in Australia. There were scripture classes, a Christian student group, and we also had several churches within easy distance of home. Now, while this isn't true for every school in Australia now, it's still true for many. And praise God for Christian studies at Pennon Hills and Cherrybrook and the other schools in this area. Through my years at school in Japan, I never knew another Christian in my year. And that's what it's like for most Christian kids in Japan. There usually isn't another Christian kid among their peers, let alone scripture class or a Christian group or a choice of churches. The same is true in workplaces, sporting groups, neighbourhood meetings, or any other group you might care to mention. That is what an unreached people group looks like. The chance to hear about Jesus, the bread of life, from a Christian friend or acquaintance is often non-existent. That's why we want to go to Japan. For God to send us to a country that is in spiritual famine. As I said, we are weak, unimpressive people, like Joseph. We cannot do this in our own strength. Even you and us together, as senders and goers, can't do this in our own strength. So Jesus gives us a fact and a promise that makes this possible. The fact is that the resurrected Lord Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. When we go to Japan, we'll enter the country on approval from the Japanese government. Now, that is true. But it'll be the Lord Jesus who has made it possible for us to be there. Jesus will have been the one who sent us, weak though we are, and Jesus will be in charge when we are over there. The promise Jesus makes is that he will be with us to the end of the age, just as God was with Joseph in Egypt. The Lord Jesus will be with us when we go to Japan and will work through us despite our imperfections. He also works through you as you partner with us in this work. He sends us and he goes with us to bring about his plans. The Lord Jesus is also with you wherever you are. Please go to the places God sends you each day in confidence, knowing that Jesus is in charge and Jesus is with you and will work through you. Because that is what mission is. Jesus sending all of us out, imperfect though we are, and going with us to do his work to save many people here and in Japan. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you send us out, but that you don't leave us in our weakness and imperfection. We thank you that as you send us out, you go with us. And you go with us so that you can work through us to do your work wherever we are. And we pray that you would work wherever we are to bring about your plans. And it is in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.